Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, I got a couple of big shows coming up I want to tell you all about. Starting off, this summer, June 22nd, we're celebrating 5 years of Rock Paper Podcast at the 5th annual birthday show being held at Broadway Oyster Bar. Again, June 22nd, I'll be bringing along Amanda Fish Band, Tony Campanella Band, and Odds Lane. Music will start about 10. It's an $8 cover for that show. So come on out and join us for some great live music. Plenty of cold drinks and all kinds of delicious food from Broadway Oyster Bar. Also coming up Tuesday night on May 14th, I'll be out at Naked Vine for my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase featuring Karen Choi, Billy Crogan, and Tony Compton. That's a 7 o'clock start, $5 at the door. And we do that every second Tuesday of the month. Let me tell you about my friends over there at Naked Vine. They're always serving up the best wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. And you can come visit them in Chesterfield, Missouri for some great live local music on Thursday, May 16th. Phil and Carson of the Scandaleros will be out there. On May 17th, Friday night, Cree Rider Band and Gin Strings. And Saturday, May 18th, Find a Drive and Gin Strings. Double dose of Gin Strings this weekend down there, so come on by. You can find all this information and more on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, nakedvine.net. And also want to let you know about my friends over at Joseph Meyer Club. If you haven't checked it out yet, they have this great product. It's an aftershave. It's a foaming aftershave that I've been using, and I love it, and I think you will too. Head over to josephmeyerclub.com. Follow them on Facebook also. And when you enter RPPJMC20 at checkout, you can receive an exclusive 20% off of your purchase. And there's always free shipping, so keep that in mind. But again, RPPJMC20 at checkout at josephmeyerclub.com. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you out of some of these shows coming up. And have a great day.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Big Mike Aguirre. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 Paper Podcast, y'all.
Pulling myself apart. One of these days, it's gonna break your heart. And I'm worried, yes, I'm worried. I may wind up on my own. Fire's been burning out for far too long. Somewhere out there, in the darkness there's a light, waiting for the day to make everything, everything. Take it all back, all the foolish things we say.
time goes by and nothing seems to change it. We're walking down a one-way street, slowly becoming strangers. All the we ask is a true love that's waiting, praying for the day I love, I see love. Someone out there always waiting to set you free. Someone out there in the dark of the night. Someone is praying. Is it time? Is it time? Of the
everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at Wildflower in Central West End with Big Mike Aguirre. Welcome to the show, my friend. Welcome back to the show, I should say.
Thank you.
This is the triumphant return. We just pulled that up. We were looking at last we hung out was like in February of 2015, and it was at Herbie's, and we had Duck Comfy.
And all that time, we've only come so far, two blocks down to Euclid.
Right, yeah, man. but that was such a fun night, man. Like that was like the first we really got to hang, and then like that was my first time having Duck Comfy and all that, and it was just it was a cool night, man. We had fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah. So, it's kind of crazy that we've really become good friends over the last several years now, and getting to see many shows and get to run each other down on Broadway a bunch of times and everything. So, but we got a big party coming up that we wanted to talk about, and a bunch of other stuff happening. So, let us be a cool opportunity for us to catch up and talk for a little while. So I just recently saw you, I guess a week ago or so, at the over at BB's. We haven't had a good time over there for raising money for lupus.
Yeah, getting down stuff. To it.
Yeah.
That was a fun day. We had Eric Lysaght, Funky Butt Brass Band, and then I got a chance to play with Rich McDonough, Popcorn, and Tom Maloney.
Yeah.
A couple of my legendary elders. In the St. Louis blues scene, so we got to have a fun set there.
Definitely, man. That was
all in a good cause. Alonzo was the MC as well.
Yeah, that was a fun day for sure. Like I say, that's some legends, some really great players you got to share the stage with there, man. So
yeah, speaking of legends, I want to congratulate Josh Wattler again on winning my raffle prize.
Yeah,
what? That I was one ticket off from, and it was an Eric Lysaght. Painting that he donated to the cause. It was amazing, and I told everybody on the microphone to contribute lots of money, get Rich McDonough's 6-foot-long wingspan worth of raffle tickets, and put it in any other box but that one. And who didn't listen? Josh. So I hope you're enjoying your nice wall hanging, Josh.
Yeah, Josh. I'm sure it'll go real nice with your taco costume.
I've known him a long time. I'm sure it's fair that he won that one.
I love Josh. He's great, man. He's another one that's become a great friend over the years, seeing him out at all these shows and stuff, and that was really cool, man. That was a good day and a great cause, and like I said, raising money and getting to play good music and everything too. And it was I was glad to see. And I haven't been up to BB's in a while. I don't make it up there as often as I'd like, working in the industry and stuff. So
it's such a long half a block away.
Yeah, right. Yeah. but yeah, man. So it felt good to be back in there, and like I said, just hanging out and. With all my friends, man. But
that's always been a tradition too, aside from gigs at BB's, and this is 20 years now since the first time I'd played there, without purely as a side guy, not knowing anything, but getting a chance to play with some amazing people, who not all of whom are around now anymore, but a lot of the elders on the blues scene. But consistently all through the years, benefit shows is just kind of associated with BB's. Mm-hmm. And so that family, if someone had medical expenses or this or that, there would be a lot of benefits, or things like charity events, mm-hmm. that we would all come together. And the most fun of that whole thing is the performing is interesting because they get a lot of people in the same room. But even off stage, with short sets and a couple of guest appearances, you really get a chance to see a lot of these folks hang out.
Yeah.
And that's something that's a limited resource, because there's only so many people, and some people are up in years and we lost some along the way. So from something that I love so much about being in St. Louis is being part of those events and seeing everybody come out and kind of shoot the stuff, is to carry on that tradition with either current generation or younger, you know, musicians and artists who are part of this scene here, and making that happen.
Yeah. I did have to leave a little early that evening, but I saw a video that Funky Butt played from the second floor during your set.
Yeah.
The Aaron and Adam and
Funky Butt, Aaron and Adam, and pretty much anyone in that band kind of has an all-time quarterback pass. So anytime there have been times at the Beale, rest in peace, we were playing a set and Aaron and Adam walked in and sunglasses on at 2:30 in the morning with a 24-pack of jalapeno and cheddar crepe cases from White Castle, and didn't even make eye contact with the band on the stage, just dropped them on the stage. And I'm pretty sure I promised to share them and I didn't. But so they decided, they were at the bar and we kicked off one of the songs we really like to play with them, A Woman, which is a J.J. Gray song that we slow down a little bit. Put some St. Louis touch on. And I started hearing horns coming in beautifully, and I couldn't see where they were coming from, and I thought they were in my head, so I just enjoyed it for a while. And then later, halfway through the trombone solo, I looked up and saw them in the balcony at BB's.
Right.
It did. It sounded amazing, and people were getting their cameras on, like, where's the sound coming from? And they couldn't see it.
Yeah.
It was a good moment.
Yeah, somebody got some nice video, and then it was cool to see that that moment documented like that. Like, it was just like, You don't see people playing horns from the balcony that and stuff. That was fun.
It's not the first time. We've got a long relationship going back to maybe 2009, 2010 that I met the Funky Butt guys, and so we've been through a minute on that block or so. There's been some unusual happenstances.
Definitely.
They're always worthy.
Yeah. You mentioned JJ. He's coming to town. That's him and Johnny Lang. That's a pretty good double bill.
You know where they're playing?
Atomic Cowboy.
Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah.
Cool. Who is it?
JJ Gray.
It was a rhetorical question for
myself.
So.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
Mighty Pines just opened up for JJ Gray down in like Louisville.
Yeah.
So
I love those guys too, man. They're really making a big splash right now, doing a lot of touring and stuff, and glad to see things are taking off for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned you got a big show. That's why we're here. We wanted to get to talking about this. This is a big opportunity for you playing the Lincoln Theater in Belleville, Illinois, and that's on March 16th. Thursday night at 7:30 start. And
I think it's an 8 o'clock start.
8 o'clock, okay.
7 o'clock doors.
Okay. And but this is huge, man. It's a big big moment getting to play the theater and everything. And
yeah, it's a big step. I've been playing in St. Louis for about 20 years, haven't released a lot of records, haven't done a whole lot other than cherry-picking gigs on the road because my son has been in here since I was 20. Mm-hmm. And so I always wanted to be about half an hour phone call away from him, not living and dying out on the road somewhere. But he's 17, and he's just a wonderful human being, and he's about a year out from graduating from high school, so now's the time. People always ask, when are you putting a CD out, or this or that? And it just takes 38 years, apparently, to grow. But now's the time to actually do something with it, not just release it.
Sure.
So that takes a commitment to go down the rabbit hole of trying to make the most out of that. So part of that is I've done mostly club gigs and always wanted to be part of the fabric of St. Louis because the people I looked up to were that. Maybe didn't get a lot of recognition or have a lot of product out for decades, but they were part of what made St. Louis St. Louis, and that was always one of my number one aspirations. But now you got to have some bona fides if you want to go out and work and start hiring people to make opportunities happen. So one of those is having data and saying, who have you opened for? How many places have you sold out? What size? I'm like, well, I sold out the Blue City Deli because they ran out of red beans and rice. Which, again, that's a true feather in the cap.
Yeah,
that's my
man.
Favorite spot. But being able to say, you know, we sold out a show at the Lincoln Theater. It's a 500-seat theater, and it's something. Or maybe Del Mar Hall. And I've been fortunate to be a part of events through different bands, the Last Waltz at Del Mar Hall that Sean has really been successful at.
Great
got
night.
To play with El Monstero, who's established, you know, such an incredible standard at the pageant. And so this is the first attempt I've ever done to put a show in a big room with my name and sell the tickets that you want to get in there. Don't rely on cover charges or this and that. Just put it all on. And since that's my hometown and I've lived on Main Street and had an office on Main Street for the last 5 or 6 years, it's kind of cool. I remember seeing Top Gun at that place when I was like 6. I just dated myself. Anyway, Kelly McGillis, I had to look away from the screen. Anyway, so that's kind of neat that it'll be the Lincoln Theater. I put my son in charge of ghost tours, so we'll have like a VIP package, which ghost tours are so little overhead. It's going to be great. So there'll be we'll explore this 99-year-old theater in the caverns beneath, which I've heard many rumors about old Belleville having these subterranean things going on. So he's very excited to do that. So if anybody is hip and you make it to the show, you should find Alejandro and ask him about the ghost tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. I got a buddy. He gets into some of that kind of. He's part of a paranormal task force here in St. Louis, and
you know I do smoke and mirrors too, so it's fair.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a good living if you can get it.
But he gets into. I mean, he tells me stories about the. Actually, he's been on a guest of the show, and we got into some of the stuff about like the Exorcist House and all these different things that he's done overnight investigations at, and all these things. So there's a lot of. A lot of different weird things around this area in between, you know, the greater St. Louis area and stuff. So
yeah, and as far as career paths go, paranormal investigator and musician is very similar,
right?
Kind of thing. If we can get to like $100 an hour doing that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, man. but that's gonna be cool. I've never been I've never been in the Lincoln Theater, so but I've heard a lot of. A lot of stories, you know, through various musicians around town that I know that was like I don't know a lot about the East Side at all, like over the, just because I've lived in I'm St. Charles County all my life, so I'm kind
so
of...
you have to cross several rivers to get there, yeah, including right. the River de Pere. Yeah, that's a big deal.
But I've been over there, you know, a lot recently doing the show and getting to meet all these guys, and they kind of getting to know a little bit more about Belleville and Collinsville and all these other towns around there. So, but I know, like, I guess so. So it was an old, actual functioning movie theater, like you said, Top Gun you saw there and stuff. And
I think it's 99 years old. I think 1909 is when it opened. So that would have had vaudeville acts.
Okay.
I assume the acoustics in there are going to be cool. It's an interesting seated. What I'm really excited about again is like the underground, the basement, and this and that.
Yeah.
I know Mighty Pines and Old Salt Union did a show there, and they've been doing shows at the Lincoln, which is a new thing.
Right.
So this is kind of helpful for me having a hometown crowd to publicize that fact. But I'm excited. We're gonna have, you know, full horn section. We're gonna have a big band. We got lights. Bobby Scharf is doing lights.
Yeah.
Alex is doing ghost tours. And also, it's on the eve of Art on the Square, which is a premier art festival in the nation. It's always usually ranked, you know, number two or number three or number one sometimes, along with some pretty heavy hitting art festivals. So the whole square, they call it a square, but there's a fountain and it's a roundabout, but, you know, that's Belleville. And that'll be blocked off that night because all of the artist stalls set up on a Thursday night before the big show on Friday and Saturday. So it's a cool time to be down. The streets are kind of blocked off, so unlike Broadway, when there's cars doing 95 miles an hour when you're outside trying to hang out and have some fun, or, you know, automatic weapons. There will be automatic weapons, but they will mostly be holstered by the Belleville's finest. And then the streets will be blocked off, and it's kind of a cool vibe to not have just have pedestrian traffic downtown. So parking might be a little bit of a pain, and you might have to detour a block to get to the Lincoln, but I think it'll be a really cool vibe that we're having a big show down there downtown, just local business, local artists, local music.
Yeah, man.
While the streets are blocked off. So it should be a fun experience. Plus, there's a great Mexican place called Casa Maria right across the street from the Lincoln, and I'm going to negotiate, you know, free shots for the True Believers to come down for a pre-party there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we have tickets available?
We have tickets available on my website, Facebook. I have physical copies anytime I'm out on a gig, which seems to be every night lately because thank goodness it's spring again. But you can follow the link to the Lincoln Theater and get your websites online. I think in advance they're $15, but I think there's a surcharge if you do online. So the best way to do it is actually get it from me in advance.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, come on out to a Big Mike show and grab a ticket.
Yeah. The other cool thing is that's the Thursday of that weekend. Friday, I'm looking for a house concert on a roof. Saturday is Big George Brock's 87th birthday at the Ambassador. And this is a place that I opened up for, with a band, just as a side guy, but opened up for Bobby Blue Bland, who's just a legendary singer, years ago. And it's on the north side. Big George is he means so much to me as a legend. I don't have even enough of an appreciation for that man and what he's been through in 87 years.
Right.
But as long as I've ever known him, despite him being just this huge, incredibly intimidating, amazing human being with bear-sized paws, he's always been sweet and took me under his wing and showed me how to play some amazing Big George time kind of blues songs, which are really tough. But he's just a legend. I don't know how many more birthdays he's going to have at 87. And so he's very excited. He kind of entrusted me, Mike, I want you to come put a band together for me for my birthday. And I was like, yes, sir. Anything you want. I'm not going to charge you a dime. What can I do? And so we've got a pretty great lineup of guests coming up. This is going to be May 18th. So the Lincoln show that we're going to be doing is on a Thursday. On Saturday at the Ambassador is Big George's birthday party. And we're going to have quite a few guests. Played some real amazing St. Louis blues on the north side of town, and I invite everyone to come out and experience what made me a musician was being in environments like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very much kind of returning full circle to the roots and paying respect to someone who's just been incredible to me. And that's that Saturday. On that Sunday is KDHX Street Fest, and Boo Boo Davis is going to be the headliner there from a 5 o'clock set, I think the end of the thing. And Boo Boo's another one of the elders of that scene that I, 20 years ago, for whatever reason, I tripped on an extension cord and fell into gigs with these guys. They had enough patience with me to show me, yeah, you sound like a lot of Motley Crue because that's what you've been listening to in the 80s, and you don't know anything about blues, and took me under their wing. And not that I ever learned anything, but I really appreciated those experiences. So whatever I am today is just due to my fascination with with these human beings who I were fortunate to know about. So that whole weekend is loaded, is my very long way of saying that.
Right. Yeah, man. That's going to be a wild one for sure. Just a whole 4 days of fun right there.
Indeed.
Yeah. I don't know what time. I've seen Big George. I've definitely seen him out at the with the Big Muddy and all this different stuff. Especially as those have been all St. Louis the last couple of years. So it's a great way to see a lot of people that I don't always get to see sometimes. But I don't know a ton about Boo Boo Davis. I know the name, but I don't think I've ever seen him perform. And also,
he's really big in Europe. He just had a brand new CD put out under the Black and Tan label that came out this March or April, and he just went on about a 45-60 day tour of Germany, Netherlands, and different places. The label's based in Amsterdam, and he hooked up with them. The original CD was Arthur Williams went with him in like early 90s, maybe late 90s. But Eric McSpadden, Larry Griffin, Bob Lohr, other people went over. And then Boo was recognized as being this legitimate Drew Mississippi original that had this incredible way of carrying himself and expressing himself through old school blues. And he got picked up by a Dutch label, and they put out either 10 or 11 records that are all amazing. Mm-hmm. And he goes over there and plays 30-40 shows in a heartbeat. So Boo's and he's incredible, and yeah. He's one of the elder statesmen that we have. We got Big George, David D, we've got a few, but I mean they're getting up in years. Mm-hmm. And Boo's doing just really well health wise and then just as far as just witnessing a legend, because these are all even young guys.
Yeah.
Who's the youngest guy on the scene that you think is like kind of turning heads and blowing up? His time is limited.
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing thing that we have in St. Louis, and it's not guaranteed. With the Beale closing, some of the Hallmark venues we'd have, after you've been in this 20 years, it could early turn into 30, 40, 50 years of playing music in a town. Some of these places just aren't there anymore.
Sure.
And then they only live on in your heart and in your memory. So much of what we have, we can kind of jockey for position and say, we got a good scene, we're not recognized enough. Like, no, soak it up, because it's not going to last forever. Yeah. It does.
What's your, do you have a favorite Beale moment?
Beale moment?
Because there's
so many.
Either as a fan or as a player.
There was a time when a family of possums lived underneath the stage, and they would make regular appearances behind the bar, so all the bartenders would yell and scream and jump up on the bar.
Yeah.
That's when I can tell.
All right.
Man, I don't know about a favorite. There's so many. I can legitimately say that in the last 15 years, I've spent more time on stage at Beale, indoors or outdoors, than I have in bed.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And there's been so many. That was a really special place. And I had, maybe 2006 is when I first started getting a gig there, maybe 2008, 2009. But there's been so many reincarnations of the band that I play with through that era. And different eras of things that were all different. The Matt Hill days with Joe Meyer on drums, Preston Hubbard on bass, the Funky Butt guys, when I first got to meet them, we would throw down in there. And this is pre-Ballpark Village, They took a bite out of all the rings and the draws at a lot of the bars downtown, and there was some slamming nights there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them not at liberty to discuss any further.
Well, we did do some live jamming here. And you played one of my favorite all-time songs, and this is called "A Change Is Gonna Come." Let's drop this in there. Is it obviously by the great Sam Cooke? And do you play this one pretty frequently, or
I do not.
No.
Here's a funny story. So a few years ago, I discovered the Caribbean thanks to Hudson Hawkins. And I went down there for 3 weeks and played different islands, as he's been going for like 25 or 26 years. And the Virgin Islands, so it's St. Thomas, St. John, the British Virgin Islands, Tortola, St. Croix, there's five or six. And you play these little beach bars down there. And they have a thing recently, because he's been going a long time. And a lot of the bands down there seem to be kind of white dudes with dreadlocks from Connecticut. And they come up and they're like, dude, your aura is so purple. I'm like, wait, are you Trevor? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, Trevor from Connecticut? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, how'd you know? I'm like, I just heard about Trustafarians, man. Nice $900 backpack. So they come down and they play all this reggae stuff. And Hudson had a couple rules on a 3-week tour right after the election, which was a great time to get out of the country. And I got my wisdom teeth yanked and I got in a plane with anything. And so rule number one is, if anybody ever asks you to go sailing, the answer is always yes. And you don't be an idiot and follow that up with, well, what if we have a gig? No, the answer is always yes. The other one is no reggae. Because Hudson would go down there and he'd play his thing, which is, he's got amazing lyricist. I would say a little bit rockabilly, but also blues and R&B and roots music, but out of Texas. But he does his thing, and it's like, we're not doing that. So I go down with my own band and bring Andy and Nate, and Tony Barbata came with us for a week. The second time around, and we're playing just straight up ghetto East St. Louis blues and soul, what we do down there, and people were eating it up. And so we're on Tortola, which is British Virgin Islands, like sailing yachting capital of the world. It's great. There's nice gentle winds when it's not hurricanes destroying everything, which we'll get to. But we're playing at this place, and I'm introduced to a guy named Banky Banks, who's got a, he was a reggae singer, and introduced reggae from Jamaica over to the Leeward Islands and more east, you know, so like St. Martin, Anguilla, and this and that. And after we finished our set and we're playing, you know, Be Thankful and all this cool stuff and Meters with Nate, you know, and Tony, it was an awesome show. Anyway, he comes up and he sings Redemption Song at the stage. And he sings it, and I sit down next to him on the stage after the set, and I just sing harmony while he's doing it. And he's like, oh, pirates, yes, I rabbi. Really, I've always adored that song. It's an incredibly powerful song. But then I had to tell him, because like, I came from St. Louis. I'm a white dude. I play a lot of blues music, and there's a lot of conversation, rightfully so, about cultural appropriation and things like that. And it's like, I learned this music from elders that I was introduced to, fortunately, directly. And that means the world to me, my experience of doing that. But I get it. So after the song, I'm like, you know, I have to make a confession. And his name was Banky Banks, but I thought it was Blanky. So I called him Blanky. And later on, when I met him again, he called me McGuire. And I was like, fair's fair. You brought me down here. But I said, you know, there's some songs that it's almost you don't touch them. You know, because it feels great. For, you know, Pirates, Yes, They Rabbi. Blah, blah, blah. That wasn't my family history necessarily 200 years ago. But it's meaningful and it's powerful and it's compassionate and it's universal to a degree. So there's that song, and the other one is A Change Is Gonna Come, which is such a heavy song. And I told him, man, there's two songs. It's Change Is Gonna Come and Redemption Song, and I just don't take lightly. And I won't. I mean, if you're gonna play it, don't play it all. I wouldn't say there's no rules. But for me, you don't touch that. That's sacred ground. And he said, hey, the words are, won't you help to sing? You can sing it anytime you want. I'm like, okay, thank you, got it. So those two are not ones that I often do, but they're extremely important in the context of what they mean.
Definitely, man.
Just like the river I've been running ever since. Been a long, long time coming, but I know change is gonna come. It's been too hard living, and I'm afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. Been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Will I go to my brother. And I've said, brother, help me please. But it winds up knocking me. I feel down on my knee. There were times when I thought I wouldn't last for long. Oh, but somehow I know I'm able to carry on. Time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me, don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Both are very powerful songs, for sure, man. And two guys that had very celebrated careers and still do. And that's the thing that I love about music the most, I think, is the lyrics and the fact that like those lyrics were written 50 years ago or something like whatever. I don't know the time, but yeah. And they're still as current today as they ever were, and or more, you know. So it's like, it's just nuts how like all that message is still relevant today and everything. Just as so.
Yeah, truth is truth, and that's not a bubblegum pop music. There were some heavy thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is it's 2019, so Woodstock was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So all the music I'm into is mostly late 50s, 60s, a little bit of 70s, but like older stuff.
Right.
It's just such fertile ground, and yet. Like in the 60s, that would have been like listening to stuff from 1910. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Maybe I need more Taylor Swift in my catalog. I don't think it's going to happen. But it's amazing to think that the stuff that is so organic and so true and so inspiring and so fertile to get creative ideas just, you know, associating with it.
Yeah.
It's 50 years old. That's old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also right.
Yep.
You know a lot of that stuff.
Do you listen to anything current? Like, I mean, is there any, like, when Mike's got a little bit of free time every now and then?
I usually have to listen to stuff that I'm learning.
Yeah.
So I'm usually targeted. I don't listen to the radio because there's too many commercials.
Yeah.
What I have heard that I do believe is somewhat recent that I'm extremely impressed with is James Hunter 6.
Okay.
Has some amazing soul stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound redundant, doesn't sound like it's done before, although it has. It's right, and that's kind of the thing, to reinvent what, you know, isn't all that complicated and new, but it's just really earthy. But I've really been impressed with that.
Yeah. I just discovered Chris Jacobs. I don't know if he's coming to Old Rock House, like, here soon. And he's another one, like, yeah, he's been out doing it for a while, but, like, he's kind of does, like, a cool soul and, like, gospel kind of thing in some of it, and then some of it's, like, a little country, and he plays, like, some cigar box slide guitar stuff. It's real cool, and, like, anyway, I'm just like been eating up his record. Like it's really like right up my alley of my taste and stuff. So
yeah,
but yeah, check that out. I'll have to go check that guy out. Well, James.
James Hunter 6.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna go it's pretty. Do pretty some. Sexy.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna go check that out. But you do have some of your own music out there. We did just can we call it a single or it's two songs we have out there, like an EP maybe or.
Not quite an EP. It was more like a 45, but a digital version. So there's one song and then the flip of it, which was an advance release from our upcoming debut record, which I expect to be released in August. Very excited about. Only took 38 years to make. And the advance single was kind of a rehearsal for how to release the record. You know, get affiliated with the publishing house, BMI or ASCAP, register the song, get it copyrighted, do this, do that. All that's new to me. I haven't put it on any records before. So the whole thing was kind of a ready, fire, aim, let's make this happen and not necessarily continue to drown in club gigs, which I love doing, but at the same time, you know, years can go by. I've seen 20 years go by without a record get done. Mm-hmm. So it was, I called up Al Holiday, my good buddy, and just kind of said, jump in, let's figure out how to do this. So he had the brilliant idea of trying to capture the live show as much as possible with in the studio by recording live to tape and also arranging a lot of horns, because you know the Holiday, his band is slamming horn section, and most of our bigger shows, when the venues can afford it, when you do festivals and things like that, we like to have our horn section because it just adds layers. And I don't want to be the guy that plays a million notes on guitar and is known for that. When I I grew up listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan, who was a big influence to a degree. I learned a lot of bad lessons. We call those the Stevie Rabies. But compared to his influences, which were also mine, it's like Albert King, B.B. King, Freddie King, Otis Rush, these guys, you could take their guitar out of the equation and the band would sound amazing and the vocals would sound amazing. But if you take Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitar out of the equation, there's nothing. Honestly, no offense, Double Trouble. But there's not a whole lot there. So my whole approach, my entire time when I came to really figuring out the proper way to play blues, and I don't mean to say that in a snotty way, but it's not easy. It might seem simple, but when you see someone who's a master at that craft and can play and evoke so much nuance from a few simple chords, because it's not Stevie Wonder we're talking about, you know, the arrangements there, all of that nuance comes in teamwork and approaching it differently. So that's something.
Yeah. So those, so the two songs are out there now, and like I said, that's kind of a teaser or sneak peek of what the album is going to be like.
We wanted to have something out for Big Muddy last year. Yeah, so we played the Big Muddy Blues Festival. We want to have some merchandise because it costs money to make a great record, folks.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
I had a similar conversation not long ago with Tony Campanella, who is another guy who's been at this a long time. I think he's been playing in St. Louis like 25 years, and he's just now putting out his debut record.
Yeah, I saw
that. So, which is currently number 6 on Billboard Blues Chart, which is incredible that he's. So he's it's really cool to see that, you know, he's making moves happening too. Like, so you guys are in a very similar position, I think.
St. Louis is a curse. Because you can't throw a rock without hitting a better guitarist or a better vocalist. Who are friends of mine? Like a dozen. I can throw 12 rocks and hit 5, you know, a bunch of people that are amazing at it. And you kind of develop, and I've always been someone who's deferential and has respect for elders and respect for others. And I don't want to put myself above someone else. But so much of that is kind of deferential, and there's so much self-doubt and hyper self-criticism when it comes to creating things and putting yourself out in front of people. But you go out of St. Louis, and it's kind of slim pickings, you know? You go to a place, and you play the stuff that everybody ignores at Applebee's in South County, and you play it somewhere else, like St. Thomas, and people are losing it, and they're like, this is amazingly good. So it's cool to see St. Louis talent, you know, finally jumping through whatever brick walls they imposed on themselves and releasing something, and then see it take wheels. So that's great for him to be ranked on Billboard.
Yeah, man, for sure.
And seeing some appreciation for doing what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. These big things are happening, and I imagine the same things for you. A big splash once this record's ready, because I think there's been a lot of people waiting for it for a long time, so I'll be excited to get myself a copy in August, and Is that all you've been working with Nate, right, on that for some of the new recordings?
So we, Al Holliday was very heavily a part of this. He's kind of co-producing the CD. So we wrote together. We came up with ideas together. He helped with arrangements and contributed lyrics. All of this, the whole point is to collaborate.
Yeah.
So there's songs that are specifically written to just throw songwriting credits around on, because I haven't done that, you know, mechanically and figure out how that all works. And then, so I came with songs in mind, and then collaborating with him, and then Andy and Nate and Kevin Bowers, who's been the core group that we've been working with, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years. So they're brothers.
Yeah.
And then integrating the horns, who we've worked with, but then also we wanted to get a real kind of cross section of St. Louis. So we did a session at Sawhorse, which is Jason McIntyre's studio, down in Virginia for the first session. The second one we did at Native Sounds on Cherokee. And the third one we did at Red Pill with Jake Dietering. And then we actually went back to Sawhorse to record a few more songs just in March. And so it's very much a collaborative effort. But I do want to say that aside from, you know, good compositions is necessary to have a good record. Good performances. And again, we took an old school approach. We're live to tape. Everybody's in the same room. No auto-tune. None of that. It works so well for all the people that make money in music. But we don't do it that way.
Yeah.
But playing live, so you got to deliver a good take. So, like, all the vocals are live takes. That process was incredible.
Yeah, man, well, that's very cool. I haven't been the other two, Red Pill or Native, yet. But I've been in did a podcast with Jason and Preston over at Sawhorse, and that's such a cool space. And Jason, great guy, and it was a lot of fun to kind of pick his brain from behind the board and stuff, and because, you know, I've talked to so many record, you know, people, artists whose records he's recorded and stuff, so it was kind of fun to, you know, talk to him on the other side of the board now too.
Yeah, he's world class.
Yeah,
and just like the St. Louis thing, you know, the Midwestern thing is he's heart and soul. So he's world class without any attitude. He's a friend. He's family. The other big thing is both Andy Coco on bass and then Nate Hershey are both audio engineers with mm-hmm. professional skills. So Nate's been doing the heavy lifting on editing and mixing the record. And I can't tell you what an asset is to have guys like that.
Yeah.
Whose skills are untapped for 4 of the 5 years we've been playing together. We're never even touching on this amazing skill set that are sitting in their back pocket. So the whole process has just been so fulfilling. Even when there's no light at the end of the tunnel, because I mean, this has taken 2 or 3 years. We're getting this record together,
right?
In time, because everybody's got different projects and professionally putting out CDs in it as well. Yeah. But the sound quality, like I was saying before, the composition has to be good. The execution has to be good. Perform it in a studio setting, which we did live, which is a hard way to do it.
Right.
Because if you junk it up, it's done, and you just burnt tape. You paid for the tape. So, you know, deliver good tracks, and the musicianship is there and the chemistry is there. But what I'm really excited about and curious about as this gets released and we invest in putting it worldwide is the production quality. I mean, it's going to sound good, and that's all Nate Hershey and Al's different takes on mixing and processing it.
Right. And those are two guys that know a little something about sound. So yeah,
they do. Yeah. Yeah. Annoyingly so sometimes. Like, Mike, you need a tune. Buddy, I never had a tune.
That you went to New York with Kevin, right?
Mm-hmm. With Kevin Bowers. Yeah. He lined up a show at New York City Winter Jazz Fest this year, which was incredible.
Yeah,
I cannot afford to drink in that town. I learned that.
How was that trip?
It was cool. It was about 22 degrees. But we went, and I think St. Louis got like 12 inches of snow that weekend.
There you go.
Big time.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I think he got a Regional Arts Commission grant. So, and I think he applied for the grant, but whether he knew he was actually going to stick the gig or not and get it booked. But he did, and so that allowed 10, normally it's about 13 or 14 full band guests in the Nova show that we've done before. So about 10 of us got to go and played at the Bitter End on Bleecker Street in the Greenwich Village, which is a historic spot. I think Lady Gaga peed on a rail there. It was cool to be associated with that, I guess. And I went across the street and found a record store and pulled out Henry and Vernell Townsend's St. Louis Blues record from 1980. And I saw it digging through a bin. And I'm like, so I called Alonzo and said, hey, do you have this record? This is your dad and mom. he said, no, I used to have it, but our place got broken into and somebody stole it. So if you want to keep it, and because of the love you had for my father and his music, you're welcome to. Also, if you want to give it to me, totally fine.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll hang on to it. So I did. I played it for like 3 months, and then his birthday was, we celebrated his birthday on 420, and I presented it to him then.
Oh, very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's awesome. I've never been up there that way to New York City. Was that your first time? Or
it was my second time.
Second time? Yeah.
The first time I went, I stayed in Midtown, which is very crowded. And I got hit by a bike walking in the crosswalk. I was in the crosswalk because everybody's in the way in New York if you haven't been there before, because there's so many people you're constantly bumping. And if you're rubbernecking, you're going to run into people and you'll be like, sorry, I'm not from here. I'm St. Louis for all dumbasses there. Like me. No. But I wasn't. I was in the crosswalk. It was a green light. Thank you, kids. And the last step, as I was stepping on the curb, this bike came out of nowhere and ran into me. And I kind of caught the guy so he wouldn't fall down. I should have just... who's the office linebacker guy? Should have done that.
Oh, Terry Tate?
Terry Tate! Should have Terry Tated him, but I didn't. I was nice, because I'm from St. Louis, and we got courtesy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's cool, but it's crowded in Midtown, in Greenwich Village, and it's also like a grid layout, of mostly in that Manhattan. But Greenwich Village is somewhat more old school, and there's weird intersections. There's going to be like an eight-way intersection with a building that's designed to have eight sides.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool.
Yeah. Did you get to play, besides Kevin's gig,
I got to play some ping pong at a called the Spotted Cat. I think it was, no, that's New Orleans. It was some kind of cat. Electric Pussycat. No, it wasn't that either. But we did that. We went to the Comedy Cellar. We saw like Aziz Ansari Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross, yeah.
Yeah, the Bumpin' Mics guys. They were like David Tell. Randomly. Like, I don't go to comedy things. It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think Adam and Aaron from Funky Bug got yelled at for talking so goddamn loud. By those guys.
All right.
I think that happened.
That's why I would like to do that trip. Like, go to, like, I'm a big comedy fan. I would love to actually take it all in and do the some of the rooms like that in both New York and LA, just to see some of those rooms that those guys like came up in and stuff. I mean, just as much as I love our, you know, like you're talking about the BBs and Beale and all the blues history we have here, and I love all that too, but the comedy is also a big part of my life, and it'd be kind of crazy to see where some of that stuff originated and stuff in those rooms. And
I liked how they kind of packaged it and projected it, because I think it was like $17 a person, and you got like a seat at a table, and they would kind of try to sit you together, but otherwise there's X amount of seats, and might get split up in your party. You go, and it's like $17 for the ticket. And minimum two items that you had to put on your card. You know, so get some food and a drink. And then no cell phones. And so you pack a room full of people like that, and then these people come up. And not only like the host, who might be like the local host, but he also hangs out with Jerry Seinfeld and all these people because of the atmosphere of the club anyway.
Yeah.
It's like the dude. And then there'd be, maybe you might be more familiar with some of the people that I saw there. And then you've got the X factor of big timers just coming on down because they couldn't sleep and wanted to work out some new material.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that was a really cool way to sell that. And I think, you know, in locally, you've got venues, you've got house concerts, you've got bars, you've got clubs, and this and that. And maybe you have I just really liked how they valued that and presented that and packaged that to consumers to make it a viable thing. Because, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a way to apply that to the musicianship that we have and the local angle, because you never know who drops in.
Yeah.
It's so commonplace for us, we kind of take it for granted. Even the people that participate in it know, I shouldn't be taking this for granted. This is amazing. But when it does come together and you got people that just drop up and improvise on the spot, which happens, again, all the time in St. Louis, it's really a special thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's, when you're talking about, like, that... I think, you know, Aaron and Adam are the two guys that come to mind a lot because they always have their horns and will travel and jump up and just jump on a gig. But there was a moment mentioned 420 too. I was watching Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players gig Oyster Bar that night, and they're in the middle of Mary Jane from Rick James, which Cree Ryder was singing, which I never thought I'd see Cree Ryder singing Rick James, but it was they were killing it. And then, like, you know, towards the end of the song, the kind of the instrumental there and stuff, and Aaron and Adam walk in the back door and just start playing their horns and into Sean's microphone, and I don't know if it was communicated at all or whatever, but it just seemed like a very spur of the moment thing that they just walked in the door and just jumped up and started playing. And like, and that's like I saying, I love that kind of stuff where it's just like you never know who's going to walk through the door and what next, you know, incredible moment's just going to happen right then.
Yeah, you know, what do you like? Harmony is a funny thing. Like musicians are built and live to play together, but harmony doesn't work in past or future. It only works in the moment. So much of the live thing is the unpredictability of a live situation. Sure. Somebody shows up and plugs in off the cuff. And you're like, wow, this is a moment. But no, it's all the moment. That's exactly what it is. And fortunately in St. Louis, I don't want to speak for everybody, but just as many friends and talented musicians I've been able to share time with on stage is, I mean, we those moments, you know, priceless moments like that are very impermanent and very unpredictable are our life and blood. And it's so cool to live that way.
Yeah, man, definitely. Well, you, like I said, we got this big show coming up, Lincoln Theater, May 16th, Belleville, Illinois. Grab your tickets today. Come out and party with Big Mike. And you can, again, find ticket link on Facebook or Lincoln Theater's website and all that stuff, or come out to a show. We do have a couple other things. You said you're looking to hit the road with Big Rich McDonough. Also, you're doing a Eureka Springs.
Yeah, Eureka. Have you ever been there?
I don't believe so.
You should come.
That's down in Arkansas.
It's down in Arkansas. Yeah. It's just kind of by Bull Shoals.
Oh yeah.
So it might be a 5 or 6 hour drive.
It's been a lot of time. Like my dad would take the boat down to Bull Shoals a lot and go.
It's a cool lake. Yeah. It's not crowded.
We liked it down there because like the Ozarks was always so crowded, and so we go down there and it was like our own private lake, and we go water skiing and everything, and like especially if you go like if you're down there like on a Wednesday or something, there was like. You know, the weekend to
get the whole place to yourself.
Yeah, the weekend to get a little crazy, but you know, during the
also
week.
Also, scorpions. I did see a scorpion there. Yeah, he was a little guy.
Yeah.
Eureka Springs is really cool. The main drag is kind of like cut into a chasm of a canyon, and there's little shops on both sides that are all these funky little places. But they do, Patrick Sweeney's going to do like a 3-night stand at the Majestic there. So that's cool.
That's the coolest, man. He is a great guy.
Cool. I need to listen to this and steal as much as I possibly can. And then, like, the first week of July, I'm going to be down there with Sean Cannon for Spaceberry.
Okay.
So the summer is looking pretty good between show on the 16th, that whole weekend with Boo Boo and Big George. The last weekend of the month, going to play at Eckert's over in Belleville, which is always a really good time, on the 31st. The first is Eureka Springs. Head down there. Middle of June, going to Anguilla to the Dune Preserve to hang out with Banky Banks and play some blues. And then Eureka Springs in July, Colorado in late July, and then hopefully a CD release in August.
Man, yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait, man. I'm excited to be a part of all this with you. I mean, I really enjoy watching you play, and I'm excited for the rest of the world to start taking notice a little more with this record and everything else, and see where this thing goes, man.
Awesome.
So thank you, Mike, for doing this. Thank you to Wildflower for letting us hang out in this beautiful space.
Yeah, we'll ask about food, too. We already established the duck confit standard.
Yeah.
I don't know they have duck confit here, but we'll work it out.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Shane.
Bye, everyone.
See you, everybody. Turn to you.
were cold. Even a fallen angel wouldn't treat a poor sinner so. You ripped my heart out, then you walked away. I got me a new repo man, and you got hell to play. I'm not talking about forgiveness, not talking about sin. You stole my soul away, now I want it back again. I had to do with the devil.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.